In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Almighty God, merciful Father.
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you.
Keep us steadfast in your grace and truth. Protect and deliver us in times of temptation. Defend us against all enemies. And grant to your church your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The first reading for the Festival of Reformation is from the Revelation to St. John, chapter 14. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with the eternal gospel to proclaim those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forth as a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he has passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be justified, and justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By the law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Every year on this day, I'm tempted to just say for the sermon, refer back to that hymn. Because that hymn is a complete rendition of everything you need to know for your salvation. We Lutherans would do well to commit that hymn to memory, so that when we are asked to give an answer or a reason for the hope that we have in Christ, everything we need will be right there. But I think I'll preach anyway. Here's what the Lutheran Reformation was all about. Jesus. It was about answering the question, who is Jesus? Or more specifically, what kind of a Savior is He? Everything else hinged upon that. Still today, everything hinges upon that. So what kind of a Savior is Jesus? For the medieval Roman Catholic Church, Jesus was a conditional Savior. Jesus would save you, but He demanded a lot from you in order for that to happen. Jesus fulfilled the law for you, and He died on the cross for you, which filled a big, whopping, full treasure chest in heaven full of His merits. But it was up to you to cash in. It was up to you and your works to dip into that treasure chest and earn the merits Jesus had all stored up for you. And if you didn't, tap into that treasure chest, you would not meet Jesus the Savior, but Jesus the stern and righteous judge. This is, by the way, why the common Christians in the 16th century readily bought into the idea of indulgences. It's hard for us to fathom today that they would actually believe that they could purchase a simple piece of paper signed by the Pope and get their dead loved ones out of that place called purgatory, or reduce the time they themselves would have to spend there when they die. I mean, it sounds so utterly absurd, this idea of buying your way into heaven. And it is utterly absurd, but we need to remember that they had no concept of the gospel. So believe it or not, this was gospel for them. This was great news indeed, because the demands of Jesus were just too high for anyone to possibly get into heaven without some much needed help. Indulgences were great. So were prayers to the saints and pilgrimages to holy places and veneration of relics. These two were readily accepted and embraced by the common folk, since again, they needed all the help they could get. Getting to heaven was next to impossible. In fact, was impossible. Only the holiest of saints were ever able to achieve the good works necessary for that. So what kind of a Savior is Jesus? For the people living in the 16th century, He was an impossible Savior. He was a new Moses, a perfect lawgiver. Jesus was a demanding God. He demanded perfection. He demanded righteousness. He demanded holiness. And the people knew all too well that they did not meet these perfect demands of Jesus. So they either gave up on the whole thing, or they jumped through whatever hoop the church put before them and provided to help them somehow get in on this Jesus and His salvation. This too is something we can hardly fathom today. Why didn't these people just read the Bible, for crying out loud? Well, because there weren't any Bibles back then. The people didn't have access to the Word of God. Not even parish priests were privileged to have a Bible to read. Bibles were scarce in that day, and so the people, even the priests, relied upon the church to tell them what the Bible said about Jesus and what kind of a Savior he is. This, dear friends, is the world into which Dr. Martin Luther was born and raised. He was a loyal son of this church. He had come to view Jesus as this conditional Savior and stern judge. He became a monk in the Augustinian order and set out to prove himself worthy of salvation by doing everything in his power to appease God's wrath and to satisfy this judge named Jesus, who demanded of him perfection. But the more Luther tried that, the more he fell into doubt and despair. He couldn't meet Jesus' demands. He couldn't defeat his sin. The more he tried to defeat sin, the more he realized he was a sinner. He became so distraught over this that his father confessor, Father Staupitz, sent him on a pilgrimage to Rome, thinking that it might do Luther some good. It didn't. All it did was open Luther's eyes to the corruption in the church as he witnessed the mockery of the faith everywhere he looked. Here he was killing himself to try to prove himself worthy of salvation, and he goes to Rome and sees a circus where the clergy didn't take their faith seriously and weren't even trying to prove themselves worthy. Then it happened. Shortly after Luther's return from Rome, Father Staupitz decided to send him to Wittenberg to study the scriptures and become a doctor of theology. For the Roman Catholic Church, that was, in the words of Julia Roberts from that movie long ago, a big mistake. Big. Huge. For there in Wittenberg, the Holy Spirit opened Luther's eyes to see the true gospel for the first time. Luther came to understand that the perfect holiness and righteousness Jesus demanded was something he himself supplied. He no longer viewed Jesus as an angry God and stern judge, but as the loving Savior he is. The Savior who did everything necessary to save us, who fulfilled the law and all its demands for us, and paid the full price for all of our sins with his blood on the cross. The Savior who willingly and lovingly dispenses this salvation to us through his holy word and sacraments. Luther came to see that we are justified, declared righteous or saved, not by works and not by buying pieces of paper or making pilgrimages to holy places or venerating relics, but we are justified by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. This is what we celebrate this day, dear Lutherans. The fact that we know what kind of a Savior Jesus really is. The fact that we have the pure gospel, the sweet, pure gospel preached to us and taught to us. The fact that we continue to hold that we are justified by faith apart from the works of the law, as you heard St. Paul himself declare a while ago. The fact that because the Son has set us free, we are free indeed. But there's no room for boasting. And we must beware of the danger. For the danger is there for us Lutherans too. The danger for us is the exact opposite from the danger felt or experienced by the common folk in the 16th century prior to the Reformation. The danger for us is to take this beautiful, sweet gospel for granted, to think that because Jesus does it all, we can live however we want and do whatever we please. To think that since our works do not save us, And since Jesus readily supplies everything we need, forgives us, and cleanses us, then we do not need to be good people and do good works. Thus, we would do well to be reminded of and to heed the first of Dr. Luther's 95 theses, which he nailed to the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg and sparked what would become the Reformation. He had not yet fully discovered the gospel at this point when he wrote these 95 theses and nailed them to the Castle Church door on October 31st, 1517. So some of his theses are still off theologically, but the first of his theses is spot on and remains true forever. It is this: our Lord and Master Jesus Christ, when he said, "Repent," he willed that the whole life of believers should be one of repentance. That's the Lutheran difference, dear friends. Lutherans recognize that we are sinners. Lutherans recognize that we cannot save ourselves. Lutherans recognize that we must repent and turn to Jesus for our salvation. So on this Reformation Day, repent. Acknowledge and confess your sins. Recognize that you cannot save yourself and admit the truth that you have sinned against God in thought, word, and deed, that you have not loved him with your whole heart, and you have not loved your neighbors as yourselves. The only thing you have merited with your works is God's temporal and eternal punishment. Those aren't just words we mimic and say every week when we come here for church. Those are eternal truths. Repent. But then, on this celebratory Reformation Day, hear the pure and sweet gospel of Jesus Christ. Let it ring in your ears as if it was the first time you ever heard it. Through faith in Jesus, you are forgiven. In Jesus, you are perfect. In Jesus, you are righteous. In Jesus, you, sinful you, are holy and blameless. He lived the perfect and sinless life for you, personally. He fulfilled the law in your place, personally. He suffered and died on the cross for all of your sins, as if you were the only human being ever to live. He has set you, sinful you, free. Abide in him, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Here in his holy church, Jesus forgives sinners and declares them righteous. What kind of a Savior is he? A perfect, loving, compassionate Savior. A Savior who does everything necessary for your salvation. A Savior who continues to do everything necessary for your salvation. A Savior who freely and lovingly bestows upon you forgiveness, life, and salvation, which he won for you with his perfect life and sacrificial death, bestowing this beautiful salvation upon you via holy baptism, holy absolution, holy preaching, and the Holy Supper. A Savior who clothes you in his perfect holiness and righteousness, cleansing you in his own blood, wiping your slate clean time and time again, remembering your sins no more. This is what the Reformation was all about. The true gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what we celebrate this day, and that's something we should celebrate every day of our lives until we are finally called out of this veil of tears and experience in full what that pure, sweet gospel means. The fact that sinners like us are forgiven for free and declared righteous by God on account of in Christ. Come, dear friends and fellow Lutherans, eat and drink, be cleansed anew, abide in Christ here at his holy altar, and depart in peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In Christ, I urge you all to lift up your hearts to God and pray with me as Christ our Lord has taught us and freely promised to hear us. God, our Father in heaven, look with mercy on us, your needy children on earth, and grant us grace that your holy name be hallowed by us and all the world through the pure and true teaching of your word, and the fervent love shown forth in our lives. Graciously turn from us all false doctrine and evil living, whereby your precious name is blasphemed and profaned. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
May your kingdom come to us and expand. Bring all transgressors and those who are blinded and bound in the devil's kingdom to know Jesus Christ, your Son, by faith, that the number of Christians may be increased. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Strengthen us by your Spirit according to your will, both in life and in death, in the midst of both good and evil things, that our own wills may be crucified daily and sacrificed to your good and gracious will. Into your merciful hands we commend all who have requested our prayers, including Joan Birch, Marlene Wiltshire, Dick Weiser, Bill Harmon, Ella Shaw, Corrine Ellenboss, Tom Ellenboss, Shirley Curry, Scott McCollum, Landon Culp, Fred Blazer, Charles Shaw, Margaret Duby, Lloyd and Lyle Duby, James Whiting, Maxine Cole, Albert Cole, Phil Warsop, Lee G, Sherry Schau, Joseph Tolk, Elaine Wood, Pastor Dan Chambers, Pastor Doug Janetsky, Rosemary Reichart, Sally Messer, Phyllis Boffman, Michelle Johnson, Matt Boffman, Chris Woodrow, and all who are in need, praying for them at all times, thy will be done. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant us our daily bread, preserve us from greed and selfish cares, and help us to trust in you to provide for all our needs. Lord, in your mercy, forgive us our sins as we also forgive those who sin against us, so that our hearts may be at peace and may rejoice in a good conscience before you, and that no sin may ever frighten or alarm us. Lord, in your mercy, lead us not into temptation, O Lord, but help us by your Spirit to subdue our flesh, to turn from the world and its ways, and to overcome the devil with all his wiles. Lord, in your mercy. And lastly, O Heavenly Father, deliver us from all evil of both body and soul, now and forever. Lord, in your mercy. We trust, O Lord, in your great mercy to hear and answer us through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Thank you.
salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation. For you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Grant us your Spirit, gracious Father, that we may give heed to the testament of your Son in true faith, and above all, firmly take to heart the words with which Christ gives to us his body and blood for our forgiveness. By your grace, lead us to remember and give thanks for the boundless love which he manifested to us when, by pouring out his precious blood, he saved us from your righteous wrath and from sin, death, and hell. Grant that we may receive the bread and wine, that is, his body and blood, as a gift, guarantee, and pledge of his salvation. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, at his command, and with his own words, we receive his testament. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me."
Thank you.
peace of the Lord be with you always.
Given for you. The very body of Christ given for you. Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you.
Thank you.
holy and precious, true body and blood of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, strengthen and preserve you in true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Face shine. shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.